He joins us each and every Monday. Move back a little bit today. It's Paul Feinbaum of ESPN, the SEC Network, and right here on Jocks 94.5.
Lift it, load it, grade it, grind it, move it, haul it, rig it, dig it, crane works, rental works, yeah! The big dog's got it.
Paul Feinbaum on Mac and Cube in the Morning is brought to you by Crane Works. Lift it, buy it, rent it, the big dog's got it. Now, Paul Feinbaum.
Paul, always great to visit. You have sat in this seat, in this geographical location, so you understand the calls that we have been getting this morning. Did Alabama deserve to be in this year's college football playoff?
No, they didn't. And I certainly understand fans' frustration, but fans are fans for a reason, Cole. They look at everything through a narrow prism of how it affects them. And I have just not heard a convincing argument why Alabama deserved to be in. And I think you know me. I've been a flag waver for Nick Saban since the day he got there. I've been accused of losing all of my objectivity and focus to support Saban, and I believe in that because I believe he has completely transformed that school to what it is today. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're trying to identify four teams on the season, not on the Las Vegas point spread. And I thought that was the most disappointing thing I heard. For a coach of Nick Saban's intellect to go on national television and use the point spread as a reason for entrance when he was a favorite, a big favorite in the two games he lost. He was an overwhelming favorite in that game at Texas. That where he needed a last-second field goal, and probably is the game that may have cost him the berth, and when in a TCU head-to-head comparison, and I want to make it clear, I understand Nick Saban standing up for his program. I mean, I've heard people say, well, every coach would do that. Well, you know what? I didn't see Ryan Day doing that. I didn't see Josh Heupel doing that. I saw Nick Saban doing that, and I think that's what was so startling to me.
Paul, one thing that I brought up a little bit earlier in the show that I just want to get your feedback on as it pertains to the college football playoff and to the committee is placement. And we've heard it year after year after year of, well, this team went ahead and moved up, so if that team loses, then they can get in. Or this team didn't drop because they wanted to avoid the rematch with Ohio State and Michigan. You can't tell me that you are functioning properly if you are strategically placing teams to either avoid things or because of what might happen in the future. Is this a similar issue that you have with this entire process?
Yeah, I agree, because we turned this into an Alabama-TCU conversation, and TCU didn't move. I understand it, here's one of the problems, Cole. We get talked to death by this committee chairman who represents the committee. I mean, I used to get very upset when I heard the guy on Tuesday night, but ultimately he's got a tough job in the sense that he doesn't want to, he's not speaking for himself, he's speaking for the collective committee. And I've always resented the fact that we didn't know who these committee people voted for. And I realize it's a collaboration, but I'd like to know. I'd like to know how they did it. I'd like some transparency. And we're not going to get it, and quite frankly, 2 years from now won't matter because we'll have a 12-team playoff, and it may be convoluted, but it's better than what we have today. But ultimately, you're right. You can't convince the public this isn't all about television. Although, I will say, if it was entirely about television, we would have had Alabama in there because the Alabama, Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State Final Four would have been the Final Four of all time.
The ratings bonanza. I think that's how you can offset the, well, they're doing this for TV. Well, no, there's an easy way to have two massive matchups that would have gone nuts from a ratings perspective and probably giving you another ratings bonanza in the championship game. So that was obviously avoided. When you look at Alabama moving forward, coming off of this season, what are your new expectations for Nick Saban and Alabama heading into next season?
Well, I think the first thing that he will address, I think he's already done it, is he's going to make significant staff changes. I'll be shocked if Pete Golding and Bill O'Brien are there. Now, when will they leave is the question. I'm sure Saban would hopefully find them jobs. And, you know, Brian's case is more likely the NFL, and with recruiting around the corner, you don't know exactly when the timing is, but I think those two things are going to happen. There'll be a trickle down. Whoever Saban brings in, there'll be some enthusiasm and excitement, as there always is in these situations, and they'll hit the reset button. But the real problem, I think, for Alabama is what's happening in Georgia on New Year's Eve and ultimately in Los Angeles on January 8th, is that if Georgia wins this thing again, I think we're looking at a paradigm shift. We already are, Cole. I mean, listen, you're out there every Saturday. You know what's going on better than most. And, you know, Georgia is suddenly becoming the team that people are talking about every day, all day, as opposed to Alabama being the gold standard. I think that's...
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Big deal.
Paul, we haven't gotten your response to the expansion. It was announced late last week that it's actually going to happen. We've, of course, alluded to it. We knew that it was coming. But now that you've actually seen it and you've seen how it will be laid out, do you think college football will be better once we go to 12 teams?
Yes, I do. And I think it's really one of the most significant moments in the history of college football to see this thing open up like it is. You can quibble, and we will, Cole, that it's convoluted in one way. With if you look at it this year with the conference champions, you'll see a team like Clemson get ranked ahead of a bunch of others because of the rank. But I'm okay with that. I just like the idea that the whole country will be involved. And yeah, there'll be a trickle down. Will that SC game matter as much Friday night? No, but the NFL games all matter down to the final weekend because we just reboot, and then we start looking at matchups in terms of home field seating versus are you in or are you out. But even though one can easily make an argument that this year was a perfect BCS matchup, Michigan and Georgia. That still leaves a lot of people out, and I know bowl games have served a tremendous purpose over the years, but I think 2 years from now, the excitement level for college football will be at an all-time high, and ultimately that's what you're trying to accomplish.
When you look at this playoff, I was asked about a week ago on a different show, would I take the field or Georgia? I took the field then. I think I would probably reverse course on that now based on what I saw over the weekend, not just from Georgia, but from some of the other teams. How would you view these four teams and the possibility of different teams actually finding a way to win a national championship this year?
Yeah, I think Georgia, I would take Georgia 2 versus the field. Although I do think the Georgia Ohio State matchup, Cole, is intriguing for a lot of reasons, and rarely has a team been embarrassed like Ohio State was a week ago against Michigan, and it will be very interesting to see how they respond to that. I mean, I'm sure Kirby Smart has to be concerned about that, but Georgia has emerged. I mean, sometimes I was on a show yesterday, and the guy said, well, Georgia got gashed for 500 yards and 30 points. And I'm like going, did he watch the same game I was watching Saturday in Atlanta? I mean, that was a blowout, Cole, as you know. And in an event like that, what do you do when you're up, 35-10, and you know the game's over, you're already thinking about the celebration, and the other team scores a couple of touchdowns? I mean, to me, those aren't fair numbers. But ultimately, I think Georgia just has to deal, you know, with an unknown in Ohio State. We know how talented Ohio State is. We just have no earthly idea why they played so poorly at the end of the Michigan game.
You bring up how talented Ohio State is. And another issue that I've had with the committee and how some of the things have been said this year, I feel like we've been here, and I've just, my eyes have just opened to it this year recently, but I feel like we're heading down the path of, we award teams for their collections of talent as opposed to what they've accomplished or how good of team football they play. Because a lot of the discussion around why Ohio State should get in, and even some of the discussion about why Alabama should get in, it's around individual players and look how good this guy is and that guy would dominate. And this is they have the best position group here, there, best quarterback. Is that a problem that we also have maybe just with college football or the committee as well?
Yeah, I think it is a problem. But I think it gets confusing because, I mean, I was asked this question, as you have been lately, who are the four best teams right now? And is that what we're doing, though? I mean, it is convoluted because, you know, we're looking at a body of work. If the Texas game in September matters so much, then why, you know, why are we talking about how a team finished? So, I mean, there's so many variables, and quite frankly, I tune most of it out. It's really whatever you want it to be, Cole, and I know that's not a good answer, but the commentary is so over the top from all of us. And then we try to measure what this committee says, and quite frankly, they never really say anything.
No, you're right.
I'd like to hear the committee chairman say, you know what, we put Ohio State at number five because they absolutely sucked on Saturday. Instead, he said, you know, they played a really good game. They played 3.5 quarters, and then they just had a little bit of an issue. They didn't have a little bit of an issue. They got hit with a crowbar in their head. But, you know, so we all just listen, and as we said at the very onset, we all hear what we want to hear.
Well, another problem I had, Paul, is I think 1, 2, and 3 weeks of the rankings show TCU was pounded by that committee, absolutely destroyed. Oh, they had to come from behind. Oh, they didn't put, you know, they didn't control the game. They weren't dominant. Look how Ohio State scores. Look how these other teams score. The rate that they score, the points they score, and then the team that you pounded for 3 weeks loses, and you don't move them. And that's I'm not anti TCU, but it's just, and I understand that all these pieces will never be able to be put together. There's too many different variables, but some of it just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't add up.
Well, what doesn't make sense is the explanations every week. And I realize it's a TV show, and I realize all the things that are obvious. But this is, you know, those like people like you and others are trying to be analytical about it. And you can't mesh what somebody said on week 9 versus what they said on week 13 because they don't compute. So I think everybody is confused. I don't think in the end it matters a lot, except we're now done with the process, and I'm still not sure what the process is.
Paul Feinbaum joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. He's with us each and every week thanks to our friends at Craneworks. I wanted to get your thoughts on one more topic. We've seen a lot of coaching moves. Some interesting coaching moves. I mean, Jamie Chadwell to Liberty and the amount of money he's going to get is interesting. Scott Satterfield just left Louisville to go over to Cincinnati, which I think is very intriguing. But none more than Deion Sanders to Colorado, a team that just flat has not been great, a program that has not been great. Now, this worked for Mel Tucker. He was able to roll this into a bigger job and obviously a massive contract. Deion Sanders has been a name that has been very polarizing to a lot of coaching searches the last month or so. I'm interested in your thoughts on what it is and how much success do you believe that he has?
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see, good for my career. Sent me to rehab, though, so that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
I think this will be a tough job to make Colorado into a contender. And I'm talking about a conference contender and a national championship contender. Can he get excitement? Yeah. I don't know their schedule, but game day will be there next year, okay? That's just Deion Sanders. He brings a lot with him. And I think it's a very exciting hire, and I think it cast a light on some of the other hires we've seen, and not the ones you just got through mentioning, but others, that it makes you wonder, well, maybe why didn't they go down this road? But ultimately, it's a double-edged sword for Colorado. I applaud them for making the move. They needed something. I mean, if they just gone out and hired the usual suspect, nobody, and I mean nobody, would have cared. But, you know, if he has any success, and what is that? Going to a bowl game? He'll get more offers, because then this next rung of athletic directors at the elite schools are going to go, you know what? Okay, well, let's go for this. So I'm happy for him. I'm surprised he took it. I thought he could have done better, but he may have looked at that situation, though, Cole, and said, they're so bad, I don't really have to do very much out there to show progress. And I think I'm capable of a winning record and making a run, and somehow if I pull an upset, I'll be gone the next day.
Absolutely. He brings some talent and upgrades that. It might not be very difficult to win a couple games. How about this, Paul? At TCU to open the season, and then Nebraska at Colorado week two. Matt Rhule, Deion Sanders, that might not take long for your prediction to come true.
No, I think you're right. And that's fine. It's exciting. But I've been out there before. It's a beautiful place to go to school. It's a beautiful place to visit. It's not a good place to coach anymore.
Paul, always great stuff. Definitely appreciate your time. Look forward to catching up next week.
Thanks, Cole. Enjoy.
Paul Feinbaum of ESPN, the SEC Network. You can hear him 2 to 6 p.m. right here on Jocks 94.5.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.